Amen. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Luke. Marlon? Okay. Luke chapter 22, if you will. Luke chapter 22. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get a worksheet? Lift your hand up and it'll be around. Looks like we're good to go. While you're looking for that, I got a couple things I want to say. Don't shoot me. I always like that. But this July 4th is on a Wednesday. Now, Sundays, if it's something on Sunday, we're having church. I don't care who cares about what. We're going to shift our Wednesday night service to Thursday that week. So July 5th will be our midweek service. And the problem is you get some people who get out of town and we don't have our workers for the kids club and so forth and so on. And the kids don't come because they're home with their families and, you know, so forth. So there's some churches I know of that have their midweek service on Thursday every week. That's just when they have it. I got a buddy of mine who every summer they do the midweek service every week on Thursday. And then they bring in preachers who have their midweek Wednesday night service. And they bring them in on Thursday so they can do them without getting them away from their church. But that 1 week, so July 5th will be the service, not July 4th, just for your information. And another thing I want to put in it, just kind of start putting a bug in some in your ear. We could probably use a few folks who would volunteer a couple hours a week with our school. Just kind of coming in and sitting in on lunch period, so the teachers can actually have a break and, you know, kind of help a few things there. We actually need somebody that is willing to come in the afternoon and watch kindergartners sleep. I'm serious. Watch kindergartners sleep. You could come in, read your book. Chances are you're going to have about an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe more, just to kind of relax. You just need to know, have somebody there so that there's somebody watching. I mean, you don't need anybody, you know, so just looking for somebody who, and if you say, well, I'll do Mondays, or I'll do Tuesdays and Thursdays, or I'll, you know, let me know, you know, and we don't want to take undue advantage, but if we can work this out, and we're be honest with you, we're in a nice growing stage here, and there's some things we can do, and so that would be a big help. In fact, enrollment's up to, it looks like, about 47 so far. We ended up with 41 or something. What did we end up with this year? 41. And so we're already up to 47. We've got several others that are interested. We just had another kindergarten student sign up today. And we've got several other good ones that look very promising. So growth, and that's all that's good. But, if you know, I'm just saying, if you got some folks, I wouldn't mind coming in. But, you know, somebody that we could count on, you know, say every Tuesday or whatever, and come in and just kind of help a couple spots there. It would be very, very, I'm really being very, very helpful to the whole ministry, and I know the teachers would appreciate it, all right? And so we have asked the teachers all this time, really, to sacrifice, you know, to invest in the ministry, and so they teach all day. They don't get a break, not even lunchtime. They're with the kids, and so, you know, they could use it. We have good kids. We really do. We have good kids, but kids are kids, and so if you could help us out with that, I'd really appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles. We're turning to Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. Again, we're looking at verses that are in the book of Luke that are nowhere else, or at least not in the other Gospels. And, of course, we're talking about, we've had the Last Supper here. We've talked about Judas betraying Jesus in the garden. And we're kind of in the midst of all that. And so we're going to read some things here. Some of it's a repeat from last week as far as the scripture. But there's a little phrase. Now, remember, Matthew sees Jesus as the King of Kings. Mark sees him as a suffering servant. Luke sees him as the Son of Man. And John sees him as the Son of God. And so Luke really has an awful lot to say about the interpersonal life between Jesus and his disciples. He even kind of looks at the manhood, if you will, of Jesus. You know, I know that Jesus is fully God, but he was in all manner tempted such as we. So somehow, though, I mean, if we could understand everything about God, he wouldn't be God. We'd be God. You know what I'm saying? So we're not going to understand everything, but that... That the combination there of fully God, fully man. I mean, when he was in the garden, he prayed, "Lord, if you could, there's any way we could pass this cup on, I'd really appreciate it, but not my will, but thine be done." We say, well, he wouldn't have done it. No, as God, he would not have done. But man still felt that. See, that, by the way, that's not sin. To have a temptation come your way is not sin. When you dwell on the sin and you're loving on it, well, that's a different story. He didn't act upon the desire, but that doesn't mean you don't feel it. In fact, when we feel desire, we have doubts, we have fears, and yet we trust God, it almost proves our faith is greater. Because we see the problem, but we're willing to bypass that problem and trust him anyway. You see what I'm saying? And so there's some things you need to understand. So there's one little phrase here that I'm talking about this evening. And so let's read some scripture and work up to it, and we'll try to work here fast. Verse number 31 says this, "And the Lord said," Jesus, oh, by the way, that word Lord means supreme controller. They're letting us know this is God. There's other names, there's other words for Lord. This is the Lord for the supreme control of the universe here. Now, he's not talking about Jehovah. He's not calling him Jehovah here, but he is calling him supreme controller. Same word that the thief said on the cross, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Basically saying, you're the big man upstairs. Would you take care of this? And so they're referring to him as the Lord. This is God who we're dealing with here. "The Lord said, Simon, Simon," speaking of Peter, "behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," when you're looking at things different, remember from last week, when you're looking at things different, when you've got you become that new creation in Christ, "thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Now, if you were here last week, we know we've talked about the fact that Peter was in a mindset of flesh. In other words, he was a mindset of, we're going to do this with determination, fortitude, and strength. He was looking to have a new kingdom, earthly kingdom. And in fact, we went through the whole thing about, you know, you went out, you didn't need anything, but I want you to go ahead and get a purse, get a wallet, take a knife. And he said, "We only got two knives here, so that's all we need. We're not going to go out to battle." And when we got to the garden and they came to arrest Jesus, somebody says, shall we smite with a knife? And before they already talked, Peter is slicing this guy's ear off, Malchus's ear. And Jesus turns around and reprimands him. "No, whoa. This is not what we come here for. We're not going to conquer with force and with the flesh." Then why did he tell him to bring a knife? He told him to bring a knife because they're going to have to fend for themselves nutritionally and so forth. Because Jesus is going up to heaven. So we talked about that. So my point is here is Peter is thinking in a fleshly mindset. He's not thinking in a spiritual mindset. Now, I want you to jump over to verse 47. Jump over to verse 47. Speaking of Jesus, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Again, see that humanity there? Can you imagine somebody that's been with you 3.5 years that basically has vowed to be your follower, and you know what they're doing? And not only that, betraying it with a kiss. Talk about betrayal, stab in the back. Verse 49. "When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut his right ear off." And we know another gospel that was Peter. "And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. Let this go." This is what we're supposed to do here. "And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of a hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him, and denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray and go talk about the Lord looked. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful that you don't deal with us after our iniquities. If you should have marked iniquities, who shall stand? But you as a loving Father pitieth us and know that our frame, that we're dust. You know our hearts and we know our sinfulness. And though Judas betrayed openly, in a way Peter kind of thought Jesus wouldn't see. And how many times, Lord, have we backed up in our testimony and our stand for you and not been willing to own you as our own, our Savior, our Lord. Lord, help us see a couple things in here tonight. Whatever it might need, whatever the need may be, may we see ourselves. May your Spirit move. And again, Lord, we want you to do the work. We'll give you the praise. In Christ's name, amen. Last week, we studied how we must be careful that we do not try to do the Lord's work in the strength of the flesh. Peter said he would go to prison for Jesus and even death if he had to. When Jesus told them to get a knife for their daily needs, Peter envisioned them needing a sword to fight off the aggressors. When the mob came to arrest Jesus in the garden, someone asked if it may have been Peter, should we smite with a sword? And hardly before those words were out, Peter had attacked the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Peter had a lot of fleshly zeal, and yet his fearlessness soon faded once Jesus was arrested and it appeared that they were now on the losing side. Flesh can try to give the perception of fearlessness, but the flesh is actually full of fearfulness. We give our flesh much too much credit for its abilities. I can do it. Now, listen, I'm all for the fact is we shouldn't just be sitting and doing nothing. We are God's tool to be used, but we're God's tool to be used. We are not God. Peter seemed somewhat oblivious to those around him and how they perceived him. He kind of vacillated in his life between full speed ahead and off, and had very little in between. And I think we can go full speed ahead in what appears to be a Christian walk with the Lord and then throw it into reverse and somehow think that no one will notice. Those that truly walk with the Lord can let their moderation be known unto all men, for they know that the Lord is at hand. If you really trust Him, it's just slow. It's not necessarily slow, but it's steady. It's not off and on, off and on, off and on, and off and on. It's like, well, we're on when things are good, or it's off when things look bad. No, it's just always on. Remember from last week, Peter had a fleshly mindset at this time. He thought fleshly, physical force would bring about the kingdom of God. He was ready to fight their way to the throne. They had just had an earlier conversation that evening about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. We didn't read it, but we did last week. I mean, he said, someone's going to betray me. And they're talking about who's going to betray me. And in the same breath, they start saying, well, I wouldn't betray, but I might be the greatest. It's amazing how flesh can talk big when it thinks it can win, and how the flesh can go into to preservation and survival mode when it thinks it may lose. All of a sudden, integrity and honesty and faithfulness and loyalty disappear when we think we're about to get caught, we're about to lose. What can bring us to a point of denying our Lord? I want to see a couple things here. In our passage there in the beginning, it says, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out against thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. See, we can't fight the powers of darkness in the flesh, even though they may be coming at us with fleshly tools. The world thinks they can fight God in the flesh. Let me give you number one. When the flesh, our person, when I say that, I'm talking about our natural man. There's a natural man, there's a spiritual man, and there's a carnal man. The natural man is the one who's unsaved. All he has to think about, all he's making decisions based on, is really his reflex action, intrinsic thought as a simple human being, mortal. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. Now all of a sudden, we have God, the Holy Spirit, trying to tell us what to do, and He will if we yield to Him. The carnal, just like chili con carne, okay, that's chili with beef, all right, a carnal man is living according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. Now he's saved, and he could listen to the Spirit and yield to the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. But if he refuses to be led by the Spirit, or maybe he's too scared, or his faith is so weak, he's not willing to go that direction, then he's being led by the flesh. So he's living as a natural man, but we call him a carnal Christian. So a person who's letting the flesh control their life. Listen, we can do really well, but Satan knows which buttons to push to turn up the carnality. You can say, I did really well in church and just about take somebody's head off before we get to the restaurant on Sunday morning. Or maybe it's my head you want to take off because you're getting there late and you're going to have to wait in line. But there's going to be something, could be something going on that all of a sudden our carnality shows up. Now when the flesh, number one, when the flesh is in control, when the flesh is in control of our heart and troubling times come, the flesh goes into survival mode, and you know what it does? It keeps a distance from the Lord. When our flesh is running our thinking, when we're thinking according to the old man, and troubling times come, we get in the problem. We kind of get that survival mode going in. It's a reflex action. It's kind of like somebody with and I'm not making fun of this, but PTSD. Some guys have heard so many explosions that something going loud, their instinct is to go around and smack whoever's making the noise or whatever it is. There's a natural reaction that's going on there. Now, we can live in the flesh to the point where we have a natural reaction. So I don't know what got a hold of me, but I know I just cursed that guy out and I shouldn't have. Well, the flesh was in control. But that's not me. Well, it wasn't me. It came out of your mouth. And out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means it was down there or couldn't come out. Now, depending on who's running the show down here, whether we're walking in the spirit or we're going by the works of the flesh, they're contrary to the other, one to the other. You're either, in any point in time, you're either being led by the spirit or led by the flesh. Now, I think you can be generally being led by the flesh, or you can generally be led by the spirit, but there may be sometimes it kind of flip-flopping a few things. But somewhere, one or the other, you're making that decision. You're making your decision on what we're going to do in life by which set of criteria we have controlling us at the time. Look at what it says here in verse 54. They took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter, watch, followed afar off. Followed. He went the same way, but afar off, from a long distance. Letter B, when the flesh is in control, we tend to keep our distance from the Lord. You know what? When the flesh is in control, we stay home from church. Because frankly, we don't want to hear what's going to be said. We stay away from certain Christian friends. We keep our distance. And the crazy thing, we'll say, well, when I get everything all straightened out, I'll be back. So you're going to straighten it out all by yourself without the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Flesh says, I can win this with the flesh. I can even beat the flesh with flesh. No, you can't. Come to church with the rest of us, sinners. Now, number one, letter B, when the flesh is in control, we keep our distance from the Lord. Why? We doubt the truths of God. All of a sudden, the truths of God, we start to second guess them. Well, I know that's what it says, but man, nobody else is doing that. Number two, we doubt the power of God. Well, I know that's what it says, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to do it, or he's not going to be able to do it for me, or all those doubts, all those little things, all those little thoughts starts coming in. Number three, we doubt whether the Lord is at hand. I mean, I talked to him, he says, you know, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. In other words, first, we're not so sure the truth is true anymore. If it is true, we're not sure that God has the power to make it work, that we can trust him. And three, I'm not so sure he's running around, he's real close. Well, if he's not real close, who moved? Letter C, when the Spirit is in control of us, when the Spirit is in control of us, we keep our distance from the world and stay close to the Lord. It's just the way it is. John and I, we go out to eat on Wednesdays if we can, and since school out and this and that, we've been kind of going out to getting a little lunch, and we were at a local restaurant having lunch today. And the music was on there, and I looked at Jan, she looked at me, and I said, it just felt evil. I don't know what it was. The music was just felt evil. I don't know what the song was. I can't even tell you what it was. Of course, most music doesn't have a good tune anymore. You know? You know, oh, my soul. Anyway. You get to the point where you want to stay away from the world. But you see, when the flesh is in control, see, they're contrary one to the other. So if you're living in the spirit, the world just seems stupid. But when we're living in the flesh, the world seems right, and to trust God seems ridiculous. So when the flesh is in control, we keep our distance from the Lord. When the Spirit is in control, we keep our distance from the world. Number two, when the flesh is in control, we are more comfortable with and we stay close to the world. I know it sounds similar, but the fact is we keep our distance. But going along with that, when the flesh is in control, we are more comfortable with and we stay close to the world. We're comfortable with it. Verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire, now remember, Peter followed, but he followed afar off. He's curious to see what's happened, but he didn't want to be hooked up with him. That would take faith, wouldn't it? And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Letter B. When the flesh is in control of our heart, we go to the world to find comfort and safety. Listen, when we get our eyes off the author and finisher of our faith, I can tell you how many times somebody who was doing so well all of a sudden go back to their cronies, and there they are at the end of the bar. Or in a crack house. Or down in the corner getting something to shoot in their veins. Because we go back to appease the flesh. But the problem is, what we need is the Lord in our life. Not less of Him. And it's amazing how, especially when we've been, you know, we're comfortable with what we're used to. You just get used to it. And we just kind of live there. I think I was listening to the radio, I think it was Tony Evans, and he says he's still got a flip phone. And he said his kids were giving him a hard time. So, Dad, here you are, you're a national speaker, you got to get yourself a decent phone. He said, but I don't have one. Well, why don't you have one? Because I'm comfortable with this one. But think about everything you could do with this one. I don't care, I'm comfortable with this one. And in fact, it's crazy it may sound, we do that with sin. That's nothing. My wife still had a flip phone too. I don't know what, about 3-4 months ago. But I'm not saying that's not what I'm preaching on, flip phones here. What I'm preaching on, it may not be as good, but it's okay because we're comfortable with it. It may not be good, but if I'm used to getting drunk on Friday night, I feel comfortable with it. It may not be as good, but the fact is, I'm kind of scared to try to have to make my relationship with my wife be what it's supposed to be. If I came home and told her, I love you, dear, she'd wonder who drugged me up or something, or if I was, you know, got somebody impersonating me. And so what we do, they live in a bickering situation. Why? Because they're comfortable with it. I've seen women who've had some guy who abused them and used them, and they kind of get rid of them, and the guy walks out, and there they are, and will turn right around and get another one just like him. Because they're comfortable with Him. We got to change what we're comfortable with. But how's that changed? By a change of mind. What do you say to Peter? When you are converted, then you're going to be a benefit. Right now, Satan wants to get you. He's trying to sift you as wheat. He's trying to float you around here. He's trying to blow you away like chaff. But listen, hang tight with me. And when you're converted, when your mindset changes, listen. We're going to be changed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12. The renewing of our mind as God makes us a new person. So we're going to change. We're going to be a different person. But the problem was Peter was in the flesh. We saw it last week. Peter was in the middle of the hall, this hall where they were doing this trial, if you will. Number two, it says he sat down together. That means sitting in union with. Sitting in union with, to give a seat to take a seat as offered and be in company with, to sit. Number three, it says he sat down. See, he said sat down together, and they were set down together, and Peter sat down among them. Sat down means to remain. Here's the word, dwell. Dwell. And number four, among them, that has the idea of to rest in a fixed position. He sat down in union with that bunch, and he's hanging out with them, and he really wasn't ready to move. He was actually, I hate to say it, almost comfortable there. He was comfortable in the midst of the world, in the midst of the flesh. Now listen, if we're comfortable in the flesh, then we're still walking in the flesh. Now, Lord willing, as the Lord grows us, it's all going to happen one time. There are going to be things that's going to the Lord's going to work on you, and all of a sudden something that you were comfortable with all of a sudden just seems really weird. Okay, let it be weird. Just don't do it anymore. And things are going to change over time. You're going to have a new way of thinking. Things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. That ought to be a difference. That's part of the fruit. But Peter sat down in the midst of them, and he was quite comfortable. Number three, So when the flesh is in control, we keep our distance from the Lord. When the Spirit is in control, we keep our distance from the world. When the flesh is in control, we're comfortable with the world. Number three, when the flesh is in control, we can easily resort to sin. When the flesh is in control, we can easily resort to sin. Now, the fact is, we're comfortable with the world, so we're comfortable with what the world does. Now, the fact is, we Christians sin enough all by ourselves. But, Lord willing, we don't like it, and we're sorry when we do. But to be around folks who just go ahead and live in this mess all the time and really don't really care about it, there's a problem. Now, when the flesh is in control, we're just, I was going to say a hop and a skip, but I don't even think we even have to skip. It's just kind of a little lean, and all of a sudden we're in sin because we're thinking that direction. Look what it says in verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Now watch, this was a maid, a servant girl. In other words, no one seen as important or influential. This was a little servant girl. She was young. Now, don't get this wrong, but I'm just talking about within society. She was young. She was female. I'm not saying that that's the way it should be. I'm just halfway to. Oh, okay, but my microphone just left. Okay, he gave me one to switch out. So I don't know what it is. This is the same time, three times in a row. And so I guess there's something wrong with that microphone. I guess we maybe look it up and see what's going on here. Did it Sunday morning and did it Sunday night. Now it's done again. So I guess we're going to have to do something with that. So my point is this. She's young. She's female. And she's a servant. Now, I'm not trying. We shouldn't be respecters of person. But, of course, if he's in the flesh, he's a respecter of persons. You know, that's what he's, here's this little gal, and she says, you are with him. What does he care what she says? But he's in the flesh, and what he does is he lies. Now, this is the guy, I don't know, hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, who said, Lord, I'll die with you if I have to. Thought himself was so spiritual. And this little girl comes up and says, I think I recognize you. You're with that Jesus guy. Oh, no, not me. Which, by the way, we can attest to all kinds of things and still be in the flesh. Number two, the word look there means she fastened her eyes, to fasten the eyes, to gaze intently. And number three, the word denied is to disavow, contradicted, rejected the assumption. When the flesh is in control, it is so easy just to go ahead and sin. Now, let me say this. You know what we say? Well, who is she? Who is she going to tell? What difference does it make? One little lie, save my neck, or save a little embarrassment, what's the big deal? Do you realize, now I understand we shouldn't lie one another, and if we have, we need to make things right. But do you know what the real issue is? Listen, there's a lot of times we could lie and no one would care a hoot. But my relationship with God is worth more to me than that. Well, why do I feel so close to him? Because you're keeping yourself a distance. What separates us from our God? Our sin. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Naught of this world's delusive dream. Whatever it may be, pride, little sin, little whatever it is. I want nothing between me and him. Well, it's just one little lie. Well, we'll put a tarnish on your relationship between the Lord. I don't want it. Because you know what happens? Letter B. Sinning once makes it easier to sin a second time. You know it. You know it. You sin once, and you know, then it's, you know. Verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also a man. And Peter said, man, I'm not. I mean, it's just like, boom, boom, boom. There's no problem. Listen, you tell a lie, and then you got to tell another lie to cover the lie. Another lie to cover the lie that covers the lie. And all of a sudden, we have, as the old saying, spun a web. When I was a little kid, this is not a good reason, but I don't have a good memory. And I figured if I lie, I'm going to get caught, so there's no sense. And I might as well go ahead and tell the truth right off the bat. Because they're going to catch me. There's no way in the world I ever keep it all straight. I kind of, you know what, in some ways I kind of thank God for that. Because I've learned in the long run, I've been known to be truthful and honest. And now I do it for the Lord's sake. But, the fact is, it just doesn't pay. You sin once, it makes it easier to sin a second time. Let her see. The more we sin, the more emphatic we can become in our sin. All of a sudden, we start justifying it. All of a sudden, it's almost like it's truth. You sin once, and you get Jesus sinning again. And look what it says. Let's watch me. Lying doesn't seem so bad when the flesh is in control. You don't have that on there, but lying doesn't seem so bad when the flesh is in control. You say, well, it's just a little sin for self-preservation. God doesn't want me dead, does he? God wants me happy. So if I have to sin to be happy and safe, then God will overlook that. So God can't take care of you? When the flesh is controlling our heart, we hardly notice our sin. Did I give you that one? I didn't give you anything to write, but okay. When the flesh is controlling our heart, we hardly notice our sin. Look at verse 59. Now think about this. It wasn't all that long ago when he was saying, Lord, I'm going to fight to the end, fight to the death if I have to. Then this little girl comes along and says, I think yes, I saw you with Jesus. No, it wasn't me. Another guy, no, it wasn't me. Verse 59, about the space of 1 hour, think about that, 1 hour after another confidently affirmed saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him. If I remember right, one of the other Gospels says this was a guy who was a relative of Malchus who had his ear cut off. So he knew this is who he was. Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And I think, one of the other Gospels says he swears. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now, confidently affirm means he pronounced with great force. So this guy says, I know that's you. He put Peter on the spot. And you know what? We naturally seek to kind of balance our sin with the threat. The threat comes, and it comes back with force, and so we're gonna stand there, even though we know we're wrong. You ever have a fight, and you know that you're wrong, and you still fight to the death over it? Because the more they attack, the more you justify your position. And the fact is, he felt attacked. Now watch me. An hour has gone by. So Peter is warming himself by the fire. And when he first gets it, he kind of sits down amongst them. This little girl says, you're with him. No, I wasn't with him. I don't even know how he was. Another guy comes up and says, no, you were with him. Man, I don't know who he was. An hour goes by. Now you think about this. Wouldn't he have thought about what he just did? I mean, we can't help but saying, man. But he was so in the flesh and caught up in the situation, it appears he was kind of oblivious. I mean, an hour. Kind of oblivious to what he had just done, just didn't see it. Sin blinds us. And when we're in the flesh, we're blind and we cannot see afar off. All of a sudden, righteousness seems to be something out of Venus or something. An hour goes by, and the guy says, "Wait a minute, I saw you. You sliced that guy's ear off. I know who you are." Listen, you would think that by now he would have remorse all over himself, but he didn't. Number four, the Lord sees when our flesh is in control. What that does to you. But he sees when our flesh is in control. Now, we know the end of the story. He goes back and gets Peter at the sea. He says, "Hey, you love me? Feed my sheep." He says, "Well, you know I like you. All right, you like me. Feed my sheep. One of these days you'll love me enough that you'll be crucified just like me, even upside down, as tradition says. You like me, serve me." But God sees when our flesh is in control. Look at verse 61. So he says, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about. What? I don't understand what you're saying." And his eyes met with the eyes of our Lord. This is the only gospel that puts that in there. Why? He wants us to sense what we did, what he did in relationship to our Lord. Can you imagine? You saying, "You know, that Christianity stuff, and I don't get too involved with that. It's okay. Yeah, I mean, I go to church, but you know." And you turn away, and there's the Lord, having heard the whole conversation. Have you ever been talking about somebody you know you shouldn't, and they came up and they walked up behind you, you didn't know they were there? That's bad. Here's the thing. God's everywhere. He says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.'" So why didn't he remember that an hour ago? Why didn't he remember the first time somebody said, and that came out of his mouth, "Oh, my soul, no, I'm not going to go there." It says he went out and wept bitterly. That means to sob violently. Bible says, "Then the Lord turned." The word "Lord" there is curious, kurios, supreme authority. This is God. He says he turned. The word "twisted," went out of his way to see. He looked in reverse, or he looked, here it is, behind him. You know, it's almost as if Peter's saying, "I don't think, you know, the Lord's not paying attention to this. He's not going to hear this." He says, I don't know the man. Can you feel that shooting through you? And it says, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But it says, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That word "remembered" means it was put in mind. The Lord looked at him, and all came back. Kind of like the prodigal son, when he said, when he came to himself. We get in sin, we let sin get a hold of us, and it will drag us a whole lot further than we ever thought we wanted to go. It's going to cost more than we ever thought we were going to have to pay. And it's going to last longer than we ever thought we wanted to go. Further, longer, cost more. Always does. Number five. Do you realize that the Lord looks? Do you realize that the Lord looks? Letter A. Do you practice the presence of God? First time I heard that statement, I thought, boy, that's good. Practice, what does that mean? Live with the knowledge. Do you live with the constant knowledge that God sees our heart and knows what we say and what we do and what we think? I'll tell you what, it would change a lot of things. You see, the transgression of the wicked tells my heart there's no fear of God before their eyes. The fact is, you can say, well, I go to church, I do this. Yeah, but do you live as if he's looking? If you don't live as if he's looking, then you don't fear him. You don't have a good concept of who he is. Well, I don't want to have to live God because I fear. No, you shouldn't have to. You should be doing right because you love him. But if you can only get into the habit of doing right because you fear him, then that's okay too. I'm not going to lie because I'm afraid I'm going to get caught. Well, still good. I'm glad he didn't lie. But now I don't lie because I fear him. I don't want to hurt him. I want to do right. I want him to be pleased with me. The same result as I don't lie. But the fact is, there's a different motive behind it. But either way, a good thing you don't lie. We ought to at least fear him and know he looks. Letter B. We should expect to feel the eyes of the Lord on us. I'm dead serious. I think we all ought to live every moment, every second of every day with the thought that the eyes of the Lord are on me. The eyes of the Lord are on you. God looks. He didn't know. He's busy. Listen, he's full of this stuff, all this stuff. Jesus is not going to know what I'm going to do. And what's the big deal? It's just a couple of people, and who cares who they are? God knows. If no one else knows, God knows he looked. We want to make sure, you know what? We want to make sure the Lord sees when we do right. Yeah, I've been watching very good, Lord. I mean, I've been doing pretty good. I ought to have some brownie points by now. And then we tend to complain that the Lord is being unreasonable when we know he sees us when we do wrong. Oh, you're always coming down. Don't do this. Don't do that. Oh, a bunch of rules. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't change. It doesn't have anything to do with God's love for me. And that's true. It has everything to do with your love for him. Nothing to do with his love for us. He loves us with an everlasting love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But what does our life say about our love for him? Letter C, we should expect to hear the word of the Lord in our heart. Listen. We want to hear the Lord's commendation when we do right. And we complain that religion makes us feel unnecessarily guilty when we do wrong, and the Spirit reminds us. But John 16:7 says this, nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send unto him, and he will come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Bible says he'll bring all things to our remembrance. God is in all truth and bring them to our remembrance. But it would be a whole lot nicer if it came to our remembrance before we said, I don't know you. I don't know him. Than after we've denied him three times. And it shoots through us like a knife. We should expect to feel the eyes of the Lord. We should expect to hear the word of the Lord. Letter D, we should expect to feel remorse. We should expect to feel remorse. Number one, watch. Remorse is better than indifference. Remorse is better than indifference. Well, I don't like the way it makes me feel. No, but I'm glad you still feel that way. Revelation 3:15, talking about the church, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You say, well, I don't want to go, that makes me feel bad. I've actually said, I've approved, well, I don't want, you know, when I come, you step on my toes all the time. Now, I got other people here who said, you step on my toes, I'm loving it. That's good. You know, but that because he that hath his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So you're saying you're cleaning up things. You're using lava soap. You remember the old lava soap? My dad, he was a mechanic, and he had this lava soap in there, and it had all the grit and stuff in there. And he, of course, his hands, you know, he worked with his hands all the time, so they were like one big callus, and so he can feel it. But he just dig the grease out of his hands, you know, and that's how he would do it. Clean it up. If it has to hurt, it's okay. But what I want is to be clean. That's the way it's supposed to be. Watch this. I don't know whether I gave this to you. Did they give it to you this? I don't think I did. It's a good statement. Guilt is like nerve endings. Guilt's not a bad thing if you have to have it. If there's a need for it, it's a good thing. Guilt is like nerve endings, sensing pain, telling us something's wrong. We ought to have a little guilt. We don't have a little guilt. There might be a problem here. We can sin not having guilt. Remorse is admitting something is wrong. Repentance is like going to the doctor and getting fixed. Here I am. I have here sin and all, mess and all. Help me, clean me up. I don't want to have anything to do with it. You don't have an application, but let me just finish up here with you. Question. Where do you run when you feel threatened? I'll tell you where we run when we feel threatened. We run to our refuge. We run to that which we truly trust. We run to that which we think has the power to protect us. And that's when we find out what we really believe. We've been talking about faith. It's not great faith. It could be faith as a grain of mustard seed, but it's exercised. It's when the faith is actually acted upon. If we don't act upon God's promise or God's command, then apparently we don't believe it. We believe something else more. When we feel threatened, we've got to go something. We've got to do something. And that preservation, that survival mode is comes into place. And I got to do something. What's your jump to? That's what we're trusting. And the Lord is looking. When we see that the Lord saw, does it affect our hearts? When you see that the Lord saw, does it affect our hearts? When we know that the Lord knows, do we feel guilt? Sometimes what we do, we build a wall in our hearts that separates us from the eyes of the Lord. So we do not feel bad. We pretend he's not there. We don't want to talk about it. We distance ourselves. We separate ourselves from the eyes of the Lord. That's what Adam and Eve did. Adam, where are you? I hid myself. What'd you do that for? I was naked. Who told you you were naked? You've been eating at that tree, haven't you? Yeah. This is what the world does. It tries to neutralize the word of God by pretending it's of none effect so that it has no effect on them and they feel like they have overcome. Tell you what we should do. Instead of trying to separate from the eyes of the Lord, we should separate ourselves from the world and our sin unto the Lord. And that will neutralize the guilt. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to neutralize the guilt? Well, let him take it away. He's more than happy to do it. First Peter here. I know we're late as always. I thought this would be short. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love one, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Know that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. What does that mean? Set yourself apart unto him, not from him. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. Why are you so happy all the time? You got all these problems. All these... Jesus. He took it all away. I'm so glad he took my sins away. He took my sins away. Watch. Have an answer to every reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better if you the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing. Peter didn't want to do that. Than for evil-doing. You know what? He didn't suffer from them for evil-doing, but I tell you what, he suffered. Went out and wept bitterly. For Christ also hath suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, and that he might bring us to the God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. If you get nothing else, remember this and think about it tomorrow morning and the next morning. Jesus looked. Jesus looked. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings, and I thank you for these dear folks. And Lord, I know that you look, but I also know that your mercies are new every morning. And if we cover our sin, we shall not prosper, but if we confess and forsake, we'll have mercy. Lord, thank you so much for your mercy. And we need to just forget about everything else, no matter what the rest of the world is going to do. We just need to stay close to you. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet, and we're going to sing a psalm, 316 in the book. The altar's open. If the Lord's spoken to you, let's do it here.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Not afar off.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
The world behind me.
The world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back.
I don't know how they word it, but go back and do number two, though no one join me.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
That's determination.
No one join me, still I will follow.
phrase. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. He looked. God bless you. Tomorrow is the